Good to see you today as we gather for worship on this wintry March morning. Sunny outside, but a little cool, a little cool. This is our last Sunday for winter worship in the parlor, and next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and as we're moving closer to the end of Lent, so we will be moving to the sanctuary, and so you can help us in that transformation from parlor to sanctuary. If after the service today, if you'll collect all the blue hymnals, didn't ask Dave, but we'll make sure the cart is just outside the door. We stack the hymnals. That's one thing that makes it easier when we come to move the chairs and take the hymn racks off the bottom of the chairs. So if you can help with that this afternoon after the service, that would be great. And if you could do that before you move next door for a coffee hour, that'd be wonderful. Or as some folks are going there, if we can clean up the parlor, that would be good. You'll note on the calendar for this week, on the back page of the bulletin, the calendar for this week. Several things going on. Tuesday, in addition to Bible study, there is a service at Glen Ridge Nursing Center, which is our monthly, one of our monthly outreach programs. And on Saturday, we're going to be having a work day here at the church to get the building ready for Palm Sunday and Easter and everything. So if you're able to come, we'll start around 9 in the morning and try to make it not too early, but not too late. And we'll be doing cleaning and sprucing up and trying to straighten some things up and just things sort of accumulate places and just sort of clean it out and make it look fresher for worship and for being in the whole building again. So that's next Saturday at 9 in the morning. And as I said, next Sunday we will have worship in the sanctuary. And in the evening there is a Palm Sunday concert in Immaculate Conception Parish down the street. And that begins at 7:30 and it is all of it to Calvary. There's a free will donation and several members of our choir will be participating in the combined choir for that, and two soloists, eight choir members and two soloists will be from here will be participating in that next week. So that's next Sunday. We have some inserts in the bulletin today. One is our America for Christ, which is the one of our American Baptist, one of our four annual American Baptist offerings that we receive that supports the ministry of our denomination in the United States, in Puerto Rico, and a significant amount of that stays in each region. So we are supporting the American Baptist Churches of Massachusetts through this offering as well as nationally. And so we are receiving your gifts. We've received $300 so far. Our goal is $800. So we have a little ways to go. But we are receiving your gifts. There are envelopes up here if you would like to make a gift for that. Also, there is an order form for Easter flowers. The Boy Scout troop is doing it again this year. Everything is $10. There are a couple other varieties of plants. There is no choice on color because they could not guarantee from the florist a guarantee on color. So there's no choice on color, but you can select your type of plant. Deadline is today. Scouts have to place an order early this week. So therefore, the deadline is today to place orders and for Easter Sunday. So I invite you now to turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Beneath the cross of Jesus,
we have come to take our stand.
Beneath the cross of Jesus,
His love makes us able to stand.
Able to stand free of condemnation.
Able to stand for justice and compassion.
Come, O Lord, and make us strong.
Beneath the cross of Jesus.
Our opening hymn is Beneath the Cross of Jesus, number 231. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Pray together. Dear Lord, as we draw closer to the cross of Christ, the cross of Good Friday, give to us an awareness of our mistakes and our sins. Remind us that we have not always been the people you have called us to be. May your fresh and generous spirit flow over us as we grow in newness in Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, and now pray as he taught, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated.
We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. And we want to, it's a celebration that I learned this week that Claire Stevens has gone back to Ostermans. She's been there almost 2 weeks now, I think, so it's very good news that she's willing to do that. And we also want to keep the family of Beverly Sandberg in prayer today. Beverly passed away on Thursday. Calling hours at Weir Funeral Home this afternoon from 1 to 4, and the funeral service is this afternoon at Weir's at 4 o'clock. And so we want to keep her children and grandchildren, and especially and their families, in prayer today. So it was somewhat unexpected, and just want to keep, even when it is expected, death is still painful. So we want to keep them in prayer today. If you have any requests for prayer, any celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family? Barbara?
Well, I'm back. I had the flu, despite the flu shot. But I wanted to remember David. Mm-hmm. It was a year yesterday that he passed. Mm-hmm. I prayed for his memory, for our family, mm-hmm. for their love.
Okay. All right. Yep. Anyone else have a prayer request? Not? Then let's go to God, lifting up something that's on your heart or something you mentioned here. Let's pray together. Thank you for hearing our silent prayers, and we pray now that you would hear our corporate petitions as well. And we so often try to rely on ourselves instead of you in times of trouble, O Lord. But you are the source of our strength. Embrace those who suffer from illness of mind, body, or spirit with your strength and healing presence. We pray especially for those who are hospitalized today or recuperating or in rehab, those also who are in nursing homes, just trying to gain strength. Comfort and encourage those who grieve today, O God. We pray especially for the Sandberg family, as Beverly's death is so fresh for them. We pray for the Tolstrup family that have survived a year. And yet, for sometimes it may have seemed like just yesterday, but Lord, we just pray for both those families and other families who are sensing an emptiness in their lives. Just we thank you for the gift of life. Just pray that you would be with them to offer them comfort and peace. We also, O God, we ask that you would help to resolve the conflicts we have in our lives, conflicts that we have with family and co-workers or neighbors, conflicts that sometimes seem very petty, but sometimes cause much pain. Lord, our deepest longing is to follow you, and yet we fail to live as you command many times. Help us not to hide from you or from the struggles we have in our lives, but allow those challenges to shape us so that we may truly become more faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
We have an opportunity now to worship God by presenting our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering.
Save us, O Lord, Lord, Lord.
pray together. Lord, we present these tithes and gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the wonderful news of your amazing grace with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Seated. This morning's scripture comes from the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. These may be familiar words to some of us. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth, in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water from under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquities of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, these words that we have just read and heard from your holy word are words that some of us learned as children. And Lord, they're so easy maybe to recite and to say out loud, but so challenging to live out and put into practice. We pray that this day our hearts and minds may be open to receive a message from you that will help us in our daily living, helping us to follow these commands from you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It happens almost every time we boot up our computer. As soon as we log on, there's an inevitable flurry of pop-up messages reminding us of important tasks that need our attention in order to keep our computer running smoothly and properly. Some of these messages are practical, like those reminding us to update our software. Others are more ethical, telling us to purchase the license for that free trial software we downloaded 30 days ago. Sometimes there's a window that reminds us to back up our computer. And the one that pops up whenever we attempt to perform a function or a keystroke that is out of bounds with a message, "System error." It's like, back off. Not to mention the hundreds, if not thousands for some, of advertisements that pop up like bad weeds over the course of a day or a week. For those that don't turn your computer on for weeks at a time, I pity you when you do turn it on. Tech-savvy people call these pop-up messages nagware because they continually and consistently nag us to respond by taking action. The more we ignore them, the more persistent and irritating they become. But although these constant reminders are annoying, they do serve a purpose. Well, except for those ads that nobody really wants. Updating software keeps our computer running smoothly and prevents infections from the myriad of viruses and malware that seem to hit cyberspace every single day. Purchasing that license for that free trial software is just the right thing to do, since someone has invested their time, energy, and money and intellectual property into creating that. Those pop-ups that warn us that we're about to do something catastrophically stupid can keep us from crashing our computer altogether. Sometimes we need that question asked of us again and again. Are you sure you want to perform that operation? Click yes or no. In fact, it might be helpful if we had a similar pop-up in the non-digital part of our lives. Wouldn't it be nice, or wouldn't it be great, for example, if we had a mental pop-up every morning reminding us to update our physical and spiritual health? If we're savvy enough, we could program that kind of reminder into our phones, but we still have to do it. It might be helpful to have a reminder each day to do the right thing when confronted with an ethical choice, or to keep us from making a bad one. Such as a question that might pop up and say, "Are you sure you want to send that self-righteous rant to your boss? Or do you really want to send that to your spouse that in anger?" Click yes or no. One more chance, just for you to reconsider. It turns out that God gave the Israelites such a reminder, one that was not easy to ignore, given the fact they had to carry this message. This message was not just a little pop-up on a screen. This message was written on stone tablets and had to be carried around in a golden chest or a golden box everywhere they went. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ten Commandments, in fact, were to be a positive kind of nagware for the Israelites. These pop-ups kept the Israelites updated about God's will. They made the Israelites stop and think before committing a catastrophically bad sin. Granted, sometimes they did click the wrong box, just like we do. But the commandments provided a baseline operating system to which they could reboot or perform a system restore for themselves. When we download software, we usually need to agree to a lengthy user agreement. Now, I don't think I know anybody, so I would say probably most people don't thoroughly read those contracts because of the length of them and the legal language that is involved. And I'm sure the companies have paid lawyers good money to, you know, write those documents, not to make them so people don't read them, but to cover the company's bases. When we click agree to this contract, we're saying that we're willing to abide by the covenant contained therein. which includes getting all those pop-up NAGWARE messages and reminders. The software company wants to make sure that we're using their product correctly while getting the compensation they deserve. In effect, God is doing the same thing with the Israelites and by extension with us. We need to remember that God had entered into a covenant, an agreement with Abraham, that a great nation would come from his family. And that nation would be the means through which God would bless all the nations of the world. By the time of the Exodus, that promise had become a reality. God liberated the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, bringing them out of bondage on the way to the promised land. And that's where this morning's text comes from. For in today's scripture, at Mount Sinai, the people are in the wilderness. They've been wandering. And God gives them the formal user agreement. And these commandments are constant pop-up reminders to keep the covenant and to use God's gifts of freedom wisely and for God's own purposes. When we commit these commandments to our mental hard drive, they help steer us toward keeping the covenant, to love God and love others, as well as to help prevent catastrophic system errors in our lives. So I want us to look at these pop-ups from God for our daily living a little more closely. Pop-up number one. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. This pop-up is the most important of the commandments because it provides the foundation for all the others. All sin is a result of idolatry, putting anyone or anything ahead of God, including ourselves. This command was so important that God would tell the Israelites to recite it daily in the form of the Shema, a prayer, while binding it on their foreheads, on their arms, and on their doorposts. The words were, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." In other words, there isn't any part of human life that is excluded from giving our full love and worship to our Lord God. Ignore that daily pop-up and we're headed for a system crash. Pop-up number two is about not creating idols. And that makes the first pop-up even more explicit. While we might be tempted to ignore this pop-up based on the fact that we're not actually bowing down to wooden or metal idols these days, we need to constantly update our spiritual software to exclude the other idols to which we give homage. Idols such as money, or sex, or power. After all, most human sin comes down to one of these three things, and the effects can reach down through generations. Pop-up number three. Making wrongful use of God's name warns us against using God's name for our own purposes. In the ancient world, the name of a god was often invoked to get one what one wanted. So in our own time, we might want to use God's name to support our own selfish agenda, assuming that God blesses whatever it is we feel like doing. If we thought it up, it must be right, and therefore God must be blessing it. But like clicking on a bad link in a suspicious email, using God's name wrongly introduces malware into our ability to truly love and obey God. Moving on to pop-up number four. The command to observe the Sabbath is a lot like a weekly reminder to update and back up our spiritual, physical, and mental hard drive. On the seventh day of creation, God's presence rested in creation, much like his glory rested in Israel's tabernacle and later the temple, their place of worship. The Sabbath is an opportunity to stop producing output and instead receive input from God in the form of through the form of worship, prayer, and listening to God. A day set aside each week to reboot and recalibrate our lives to God's will and God's rhythm is essential for a healthy, God-led life. Ignoring that update leads to system overload and renders us slow and ineffective for God's kingdom. We need to rest and be reminded that God is the one who ultimately runs the universe. Pop-up number 5, honoring one's parents, ensures that God's covenant will be constantly updated with every successive generation. If parental instruction in the covenant is not followed, or their authority is rejected, the covenant, that agreement, that contract, is in jeopardy. We need to notice that this commandment is connected to living long in the land. God was giving the land, living long in the land that God was giving to the Israelites. Covenant obedience was the condition for Israelites living in the promised land, and failure to do so would result in their expulsion. If we fail to receive and pass on the faith from generation to generation, then we risk our Christian community becoming as obsolete as 10-year-old software. And that's old in commuter terms. Then we're going to combine pop-up 6, 7, 8, and 9. That they become very, they're not very wordy in Scripture. And so just to sort of put them together, but to highlight each one. The first two, 6 and 7, murder and adultery. Commandments that are both forms of malicious software in the midst of a covenant community can tear a community apart if there's murder or adultery taking place. These were so atrocious that Jesus updated the commandments to include an even more secure firewall against them. So we think about, don't murder. That's the command, don't murder. Jesus said, start by not insulting and cursing people, even those who have wronged you. That's a step back. Even before we get to the point of murdering someone, don't curse them. Don't insult them. And the other one about not committing adultery, well, Jesus goes one step further to strengthen that firewall and says, start by not allowing your eyes to wander lustfully. These two, along with the 8th and 9th commandments against stealing and bearing false witness against another person, are designed to protect the covenant community and its integrity. And then we come to pop-up number 10, the prohibition against coveting. That's a nice old-fashioned word. Remember as a child learning, well, what does that mean? Reminds us that we do not have permission to want someone else's spouse or someone else's property enough to take it for ourselves. In fact, it's often the very act of coveting that leads to the act of violation of the other commandments. We go between idolatry and coveting. Like any virtuous computer operator, it's important that we maintain our covenant filters to keep us from gazing at and wanting things we don't have permission to have. The Ten Commandments are pop-ups that we should never turn off, especially since they tend to pop up whenever we are facing temptation. Those little reminders from God, those little things that may give us enough strength to say, no. God has put these commandments in place for our benefit and the benefit of our community of faith. We need to heed them, to update our consciences with them every day. It's the best way of staying spiritually healthy, as well as faithfully loving and serving God and strengthening our faith community. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you for those Ten Commandments, and we know that those are just the tip of the iceberg, the summary of all of those commandments that you gave to your people as they were in the wilderness. Lord, we need to be reminded of those, and we say, oh, that's Old Testament, oh, that's old law. But Lord, those are practical ways of living, of focusing our thoughts, our words, our actions, and your will for ourselves, for our community, for our world. Lord, we pray that you would continue to send these pop-up messages to us every day. And we pray that we'll be not wanting to turn them off, but to be reminded of them. During the season of Lent, Lord, as we draw ever closer to Holy Week and the cross of Jesus, we strive to be even more faithful and more devoted in our discipleship. We pray that through your Ten Commandments and through the messages of Jesus Christ, that we may be strengthened for the days ahead, that we may be ever more faithful in following you. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, number 474. Of Moses in the wilderness, to Jesus' final walk through Jerusalem, to our lives today. God's desire for his people has been and remains the same, that we may respond to the grace and love of God in faith. Go, therefore, to live out the love that Christ demonstrated for us in his life and in his death. And may we be reminded daily of God's expectations for us. Amen.